Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Steve Tasker into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown!
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! The Bills win it in overtime.
Well, this is how we spend our days. We talk about the Bills every day. Myself and Steve Tasker, good afternoon. Welcome to One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, right next door to New Era Field, which is about a week and a half away from seeing another game. The home preseason finale coming up a week from Thursday. But we've got a game in between now and then, coming up Friday night in Detroit, Ford Field. Hello there, everybody. I'm John Murphy. Steve Tasker is alongside of us here until 3 o'clock today to talk about the Bills. It's a beautiful day out there, Steve. It is 82 degrees. And I was thinking it's about 15 degrees cooler than it was last week at this time in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and it feels like it's about 30 degrees cooler. That's what humidity, yeah. I guess, at work.
This is supposed to be the hottest day for a while, too. And
today is here?
A little stretch here. And it'll get warm again. I mean, this isn't the last hot day of the summer, but for the next couple of days after this, it's going to be cooler than this. But it's great out.
Beautiful out.
My gosh. So nice out. I love this time of year, man.
Me too.
We sat outside again last night. I told you the other day we sat out with some friends. Last night we just sat outside again. It was just great.
Yeah.
I mean, this time of year, do you get mosquitoes at your house and stuff?
Not too many.
We had bats fly through, yeah. Stuff, and they kind of take care of it. I don't know. It was just great. It's just a great time of year. Because now, for you and me, I mean, I'm not saying this is for everybody, but we haven't got into the grind of the regular season yet, so we haven't got, urgent things that are – we're kind of waiting. The preseason games kind of take care of themselves. We come in and we talk about, what's going on with the team and all that, but there's not other games going on that we have to watch. There's not, all the stuff, the chatter that goes on throughout the – you know what I mean? Your phone probably blows up. Like, I got alerts on and stuff that when something happens in the NFL, I kind of like, boop, boop,
yeah.
I got to look at it. None of that goes on in these times.
No, that's right. You're right.
It's just kind of quiet.
Yeah, it is quiet. I think I get what you're saying, and let me present it this way. In the regular season, I have a routine that's pretty regimented. Monday,
right.
I got to do this. Tuesday, I got to do this.
Exactly.
And I'm talking about getting ready for the game on Sunday. This time of year, first of all, the games are different days, right? A game on Friday this week, Thursday next week. They're preseason games. So I have tape of the Lions game from Saturday night, the Lions at Houston. I have tape. I will look at that, knowing full well that game won't have a whole lot of bearing in terms of who's playing, where they're playing on the game that I'll do Friday night. So during the regular season, I've got three or four opponents' games that I watch pretty closely. I don't have to do that now.
You're going to be watching guys you're going to be watching.
The tape
is the guys you're actually going to be seeing on the field, right?
I mean, the Lions at Houston game is not going to be that.
It's worthless.
Yeah. Well, I'll look at it and see.
You know how it is. And you start to get, general storylines. You start to pick up on what the story of the team is, so you can kind of touch on all of that. Even in the preseason, the broadcasts are different because – for us on the TV side, and Andrew and I aren't even going to be working this week.
Right.
For us on the TV side, it's all Buffalo Bills all the time on our broadcast.
Right.
It's the home TV broadcast. So Bills fans listen to us. We'll mention, back in the day, Chris Spielman made the tackle for the Lions. And then you start talking about the guy who he tackled. You don't even talk about Chris Spielman and all the stuff. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You don't talk about any of the other team's players or their stories. You might just touch on them briefly. But it's all about your team. So the film study and the preparation you do for the opponent is completely different.
Yep.
Completely different.
I got to say this, too. And I did my Lions board last night. And then I watched the second half of Bills at Carolina. And here comes a compliment your way, and Andrew, and Dan Brown. You guys do it, and not just you, Joe Pinner and the whole crew. It's a great broadcast to watch. I did Bills preseason TV years ago, and I'm talking 15 years ago, and we were nowhere near how good a broadcast you guys have right now. And it is totally, if you're a Bills fan and you're tuned into some of these roster battles, that show is for you, and you guys do it that way. It was really good. I got to tell you, the whole crew, not just you, You were solid. But I worked
Andrew,
with you every
day. Andrew, listen, Andrew's good. Top-notch.
Andrew, for a network guy, he knows the issues on the Bills roster in detail. I mean, he really does. He's paying attention.
Yeah, he's really good. He has always been that way. I did Andrew's first ever NFL game years ago. CBS gave him a shot. You know, they had a weekend where they had it open. They wanted to get, and I was his guy. So he came in and we did the game. From the get-go, he was just like he's even better now, but you know, he sprinkles in a huge amount of information between plays. He says, talk about this, got a note on this guy, got a note on that guy. Just keeps the thing flowing really well. He makes a, you know, and you know what? How important it is when something happens, you got to be, you know, in a big play, when the Christian Wade play happens, you got to jump up and jump in on it and show some enthusiasm. You know, you got to rise to the occasion. He does a great job with that. And the Bills are lucky to have him on the broadcast. He's really top notch.
You did something. You talked about it yesterday, and I heard it yesterday. I watched first half Sunday morning, second half last night. You talked yesterday about Duke Williams becoming an important factor in the run game as a blocker. And you mentioned it during the broadcast that I watched last night, second half, and I saw it. And you saw that, which is really your job, to see stuff away from where the ball's going. But it was really good, really solid point. And you could see how physical Duke Williams was attempting to be and succeeding most of the time in the run game.
Yeah, he, you know who he reminds me of is Eric Moulds. Eric Moulds was a tremendously gifted athlete and a great wide receiver, but he had an attitude of he was in a street fight out there. He was not like a Lee Evans, who was a quiet kind of guy who would walk through. Eric Moulds would slap guy in the face. You know, he was that kind of guy. And it gave the whole group an edge. Duke Williams reminds me of that. I'm not saying he's Eric Moulds and all that. I'm just saying that's his game. Like Eric, he's a big, physical guy who goes up and wins ball. That touchdown pass that he caught that MSG guys, people are watching right now. Yeah, he gives you a different kind of player. And he's a guy that you put in the toolbox that gives you something nobody else does. And I don't know whether he'll be good enough or consistent enough to make this squad because of the competition at the position, but he is one of a kind, I think, in that room.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the only big physical receivers they have. All right, so the broadcast was good, and I actually texted your sideline guy, Thad Brown, last night and told him, great job. He does a nice job. The whole broadcast is good. You touch on Duke Williams, and it takes us to kind of our Twitter poll today. Well, let me give you the lineup of what's coming up on the show. Moments from now, we're going to go out to the practice field, the Bills on the grass practice field outside the Ed Pro Sports Training Center again today. They're doing practice this week as if it were a regular season, and we talked with our guest yesterday, Bam Johnson, about this, about how today would be like a typical Thursday. Tomorrow will be a typical Friday routine for the Bills in terms of when they meet, how they practice, what their focus is. And then when you get to Thursday, that's like a typical Saturday travel day for the team. They're just, again, this is what McDermott does. He does it well. He creates scenarios that mimic what goes on in the regular season to the point where even at the home game a couple weeks ago, you know, this is what time you arrive. This is where you park. This is what you do. He's doing that this week with a week schedule, kind of a mimicking the regular season practice schedule, and they're on their Thursday-type schedule today.
And I'll tell you this, too. This will be a different vibe in the locker room and the meeting rooms, too, because they'll give – not to the extent they would in a regular season, but they're going to start looking at the Lions, say, here's what we're going to do, that, and they'll start installing it. And I don't know – we don't know this at all, but we anticipate – the ones, Josh Allen, LeSean McCoy, Frank Gore, they're going on all the way through the first half and into the second half. So all these guys like Ray Ray McLeod and David Sills and all, you know, Daryl Johnson, all these young rookies, they're going to sit back and they're going to get they're not going to get coached this week. It's the ones who are getting coached. They're going to watch these guys go through it. They're going to say, okay, the ones are getting, now here's what you're going to do. And they're going to see what it means when the stakes are a little higher, when, all right, you sit there and be quiet because I'm talking to the ones now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not included in all of this stuff. Now, they're included. They're going to be in the room, and they're going to be coached. But the ones, they're going to be engaged at a higher level this week as they get to this game. It's going to be a little different vibe, I think, and that's going to be something the guys who have been kind of in the middle of it, they're going to play a lot this week. You know, not this week.
So today on the show, 1 o'clock, Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback. He is now with ESPN. He had a really good piece about just a short tweet about Josh Allen's decision-making. We'll talk with him about that. And after practice, we'll hear from Tremaine Edmonds, Bills linebacker. We'll hear from who else is at the podium, whoever it is. And Bills fullback Pat DeMarco joins us. But right now, let's go out to practice. Chris Brown, Bills insider, BuffaloBills.com, standing by in the sunshine outside the Ed Pro Sports Training Center where the Bills are practicing today, getting ready for the game on Friday. Hello, Chris. Thanks for joining us here today.
How are we doing?
We're doing great.
Doing good. Doing good.
I got one question for you to start with. How's Mitch Morse doing? What do you see out there offensive line?
He doesn't have a red jersey on.
Boom!
He's got a white jersey on. So it looks like he may have cleared concussion protocol. So we'll have to see just what level of participation he has when we get lined up here. Obviously, we're not going to be privy to team segments of practice, but that red jersey is gone, so that's good news. On the other side of the coin, however, I see Jason Kroom not dressed for practice today, so we should hope against hope that he has not had a recurrence of that hamstring injury. And it looks like Cole Beasley is not participating today. So addition and subtraction. But Mitch Morse in a white jersey is certainly a good thing.
But yeah, the addition of Mitch Morse kind of from that outweighs everything else you told me, Chris. That's the best news I've heard about that offensive line in about 3 weeks.
That's right. So hopefully he's participating in the team segments when we get to that. And then obviously we'll have to see how that filters down, because we've talked about this, the domino effect that could take place, knowing that players like John Feliciano and Spencer Long have been manning that center position in the absence of Mitch Morse and Russ Bodine, for that matter, and Bodine also back in a white jersey. We'll have to see where he comes down because he missed two valuable weeks, and I think a couple of people have certainly leapfrogged him since then in the form of Feliciano and Long. So does one of those guys go to guard? Does somebody kick out to tackle? You know, what exactly happens? What's the domino effect is going to certainly bear some watching here this week.
Yeah, and Chris, you've anticipated my next question about this. If, in fact, Morse is added to the first unit, offensive line center, things begin to take shape along the offensive line at all those other positions, right? I mean, you would think at least we can get kind of a better sense of where they're going, right?
Yeah, except we have to see, and I haven't been able to determine yet whether or not Ty Nsekhe is dressed today, because I only got out here 3 or 4 minutes myself. They're running, you know, walk-through offense and defense, and they don't want eyeballs privy to that. So I only got out here for about 2 or 3 minutes before I came on with you guys. I do not see Nsekhe right now, but a lot of times even the guys that are not participating in practice do participate in stretch, because if Nsekhe is still out of the mix, I don't know if we get the complete picture of what the coaching staff on the offensive side of the ball would prefer in terms of a starting five. Because if Nsekhe's not part of the equation, we're left wondering, is he the right tackle and is Cody Ford the right guard? With him out of the equation, you anticipate Ford will be a tackle, and then it's either Long or Feliciano. You know, Quentin Spain, obviously. Now, yesterday I mentioned, you know, we saw the guards flip. So will that continue to happen today? It all remains to be seen. We'll see if we can get a peek at it, maybe in individual position drills. Sometimes they line up the front five, but if Coach Johnson has them going through specific techniques, we're only going to see one-on-ones over here, and we won't get a handle as to what that starting line could look like this weekend.
Yeah, there may be some light at the end of the tunnel, but right as up until today, without Mitch Morse in there, we don't even know how they've evaluated the guards and centers and all the guys that have been flip-flopping. We don't even know what they think about these guys because they've continued to change them up. One of the things I want to ask you about is on the camera shot we just saw, Dawson Knox is also not in a red jersey.
Well, right, and he participated yesterday, so this is his second day of doing practice. Now, we didn't get any time with Coach McDermott yesterday or this morning, and he's not scheduled to speak again until tomorrow, so we may not get a full report on just the amount of participation that Dawson Knox is doing. We'll try to get a hold of him maybe coming off the practice field today to get it straight from the horse's mouth to see if he's full go or if he is, in fact, still limited. And as I mentioned yesterday, knowing he was behind Jason Kroom in the recovery aspect of coming back from those hamstring injuries, my anticipation anyway is that he would be limited. I don't think they want to throw him right back into full practice here coming back from what turned out to be a 2 or 3 week injury. And I can tell you, just seeing the guys break off into position groups now, Ty Nsekhe is in pads. So hopefully we get a full look as to what the front five could be for the first group, knowing most of the important players in the equation are at least participating here in the early stages of practice. And this is a full pads practice, guys. So seeing all of those guys in full pads is certainly an encouraging sign.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, on the practice field outside the Ed Pro Sports Training Center where the Bills are in stretch, in individual work, getting set for this practice. You asked a question, I believe, today, Chris, of Leslie Frazier about this week. It's a little different week as Sean McDermott apparently tries to replicate what a practice week in the regular season will look like. And McDermott does a lot of that. That appears to be how they're practicing this week, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, as far as they're concerned, training camp closed last week with the Panthers. And so now they're into regular season schedule type stuff with the practice week. So knowing the game is on Friday, this day of practice, I would assume, is like
Thursday, yeah,
which is the only padded practice of the week. So in a regular game week with a game on Sunday, your big pad day is Thursday. We've obviously pushed that back 2 days with the game being on Friday. So this is your padded Thursday-type practice here on Tuesday.
What happens with the wide receivers and their rotation with Beasley out? Who takes the slot? Who moves up?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're going to probably be looking at are players like Isaiah McKenzie and Ray-Ray McCloud stepping in there, and then behind them is Nick Easley, the undrafted rookie out of Iowa, who's kind of a sneaky route runner. Steve, I know you and I have talked about him a little bit. He flashed a little in Carolina last week with some nice routes that he ran. So those are probably your three primary players in there. I will tell you this, though, just in talking to some of the receivers the last couple of days and then even offensive coordinator Brian Daboll yesterday, Zay Jones is a guy that has to know all the positions across the board. He's a guy that has some of the greatest experience in this offense under Daboll, and they've tasked him with learning every single receiver position, all the ins and outs, all the route assignments, et cetera, et cetera. So it'll be interesting to see if he gets any work in there as well. But my thinking is they're trying to come down on a decision as to who is better, Isaiah McKenzie or Ray-Ray McCloud, since both of them do a lot of the same things within the scope of this offense. And with this kind of situation with Beasley out, I think it's an opportunity to get those two guys a ton of reps with the ones and see if someone separates.
Chris, talking about the receivers, and maybe when we get to – you know, the roster, we're talking about maybe the fifth receiver spot, maybe the sixth even. You made a good point last week that I saw come to fruition in the game last Friday night about how a guy like Ray-Ray McCloud has to make his mark on special teams and not necessarily as a return man. And, in fact, he made a tackle, at least one, in kick coverage, punt coverage last week. That could be the type of thing that they're asking and looking for Ray-Ray McCloud to do if they want him to be the final wide receiver on the roster, huh?
That's right, yeah. I mean, as I mentioned on the show last week, he now has an added role of gunner on the punt team, and he's been a pretty effective one, at least by all accounts, and we'll have a chance to ask Coach Farwell about it today to maybe get a sense as to the level of progress that McCloud has made in that role, because you have an entrenched return man in Andre Roberts. So, yeah, that's great that you can return, Ray-Ray, but we got a Pro Bowler here, so you're probably not going to be doing a lot of that. What else can you do for us on special teams? So the way he has taken to the gunner role and then making a play last week against Carolina where the guy caught it and he hit him shortly thereafter to make the tackle and allow 0 yards on a return is certainly an encouraging sign for this coaching staff where they'll sit there and say, hey, you know what? He can do that. You know, but then you have Isaiah McKenzie, who's kind of the same type of body frame, and he is not being asked to do that right now. Now, the other area where I know they're looking at receivers in a big way is in the blocking area. And people say, well, why is a guy like Andre Roberts, you know, who's going to be a return man first, why is he getting first-team reps? Well, not only is he making plays as a receiver catching the football and getting open consistently, he's probably one of the best blocking receivers in the run game that they have on this roster. So, I mean, that guy was probably going to be here anyway as a return man, but these other things that he is showing he is capable of offering are only bonuses as far as this offensive staff sees it. I think Andre Roberts is going to be on the field on offense this year.
We were just talking before we came to you, Brownie, about Duke Williams and how well he played on Friday night, not only catching the touchdown pass and a couple of crossing routes across the middle, but he also blocked extremely well. I thought he blocked really well in the run game. that has got to really help his cause. Not only did he catch the passes, but he was a factor in the run game.
Yeah, and that's the thing that we talk about, guys, in terms of with that sixth receiver spot, what do you want? Do you feel you have enough depth at the slot so if Cole goes down, you have somebody you can plug in to play effectively there for Josh with those short to underneath routes, a guy that can be trusted if God forbid, Beasley goes down with an injury and has to sit a couple of weeks? If you don't, then you may have to look at a guy like Isaiah McKenzie or Ray-Ray McCloud. If you feel you have someone on your roster that can execute in there for you from a depth perspective, well, then maybe you do turn to size and know that if you're going to be running a lot of stuff to the outside parts of the field in terms of your run game or your swing pass game or whatever it might be, you might want the bigger body out there to lay the lumber, you know, on a defensive back or a safety coming up in run support to get a block downfield so your ball carrier can get those extra yards, and maybe you lean towards a guy like Duke Williams. So these are the decisions. People say, well, what decisions still have to be made this late in the game? These are the kinds of decisions that have to be made.
Yeah, and on that point, Chris, I have to check myself every once in a while. I think about listeners to our show driving around thinking, are these guys really spending that much time talking about the sixth wide receiver? And it's a good point. Here's the important point, I think, about the wide receiving core. No matter who's going to be number five, number six, I think you'd agree, they have dramatically upgraded the wide receiving core from where they were a year ago. And, yes, it starts right at the top with John Brown and Cole Beasley. Correct? Incorrect? What do you think?
No, I would agree with that. And, you know, I think people can make as many arguments as they want, you know, from the time the sun comes up till the time it goes down, as to whether this team has a true number one wide receiver. And yeah, I would even debate that. I don't know that you have that kind of a player that you're going to target 12 times a week. But they do have 1As, 1Bs, if you will. Maybe you have some people might characterize it as a collection of twos and threes. There are teams in this league that have had very effective passing games with a collection of twos and threes. So it's not like it has not been done in this league before. So it's going to be interesting to see this approach. I think the Bills made a concerted effort to upgrade the wide receiving core, but maybe not necessarily break the bank and overspend on one player. I think they chose to spend judiciously on a couple of players, namely Beasley and Brown, the most notable in that group. And then Andre Roberts has been somewhat of a bonus at the receiver position as well, maybe offering them more than they initially anticipated. So I think it's a good thing that they've upgraded the position. I think they've gotten some bonus talent in the form of Roberts. And then if you add in Zay Jones and Robert Foster, who have been here, along with whoever that wild card might be for the sixth spot, yeah, you've unquestionably upgraded.
I think one of the things as well, I think when they got those guys, John Brown, I think when they got Cole Beasley, and I think Zay Jones as well, and of course now with Andre Roberts playing as well as he did, I think they expected Cole Beasley and John Brown to come in and at least play as well or maybe even better than they did in the offenses they left, particularly John Brown and Cole Beasley, because John Brown in the second half of last year, they didn't throw the football to him. You know, they didn't throw the football to anybody in Baltimore. And, of course, Cole Beasley, that offense right, was centered around Ezekiel Elliott. And even he said, listen, this is an offense that's going to be centered around more. I think Beasley and John Brown both have reason to believe they're going to upgrade their production from a year ago in this offense rather than being stuck in an offense that's focused elsewhere.
Right. They'll be primary targets, not secondary and tertiary targets. Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would also say that what you have in terms of this offense is one that now has talent at the receiver position that can win more consistently against press coverage, man coverage. There were times where the two, three, and four receivers on this roster last year could not win consistently enough against man coverage. And I think John Brown and Cole Beasley effectively, if they upgrade this receiving core anywhere, it might be in that area of the game more than anywhere else, getting open against man coverage, press coverage.
Hey Chris, before we leave the offense, just back to tight ends for a moment. And I know you said Kroom you have not seen, and, of course, Tyler Croft has not been around. But even the addition of Dawson Knox, I think it's going to be interesting to see this week, and especially Friday night, how the snaps are parceled out between, quite frankly, the two draft picks, Tommy Sweeney, the seventh rounder, who's had good moments in two games, and the third rounder, Dawson Knox, who gets his first shot. I would think they'd want to get Friday night a good look at Dawson Knox, knowing and seeing what they have already from Tommy Sweeney, huh?
Well, yeah, but I think you also got to be careful there. You know, Knox missed the better part of 3 weeks. And do you want to throw him right back into a game when these are his first two practices of the week? I think it's going to be predicated on how he comes through this week with his workload, what they want to give him, because the last thing you want right now is a recurrence of a hamstring injury. Because now, if you thrust him back into a game setting where the intensity is ratcheted up considerably, and you know, he stoinks that thing again, now you're running the risk of him not being available week one. Because you're getting precariously close to the start of the regular season here, 19 days away. You know, the preseason game is Friday. What are you, 16 days away? So now you're a little over 2 weeks. He stoinks that hamstring again. He's not playing week one. He's out of the mix. So I think they're going to be very careful in how they handle him. Maybe he gets a handful of reps, maybe similar to what we saw with Captain Munnerlin last week. Playing in the slot for only about a series, maybe two. I'm not anticipating a full workload for Dawson Knox right. Coming off the injury that he's coming off of.
Well, we certainly
so you
don't
may not get your wish, Murph. I'm sorry.
Right. We certainly don't want anybody to stoink anything. So let's.
That's right.
Let's flip it over. What about the defense? Is there anything significant to talk about with the rotation, the defensive line? I mean, we had Darryl Johnson on the show yesterday. He's been, I think, the most productive player on the defensive front over the last 2 weeks and the last two games. Does that change anything in that rotation at this point?
Well, I think you've zeroed in on the stiffest competition right now, and that's for the fourth defensive end spot. You know, we know about the strides that Mike Love has made to his game, coming back here to Buffalo for his second season in terms of putting on lean muscle mass, improving his counter move arsenal. I was talking to him at length back at training camp at St. John Fisher, and I talked to him about counter moves. You know, you have to have answers with how good the offensive tackles are in this league. And I said, I don't need to know what the moves are, but how many counters do you feel comfortable with that you may unveil at some point in time? And he said, yeah, when we get to the games, he goes, I've got two counter moves that I've really been working on that I feel good about that I want to put into action. He knows what he's up against here, but it's him and Darryl Johnson, and then I think Eddie Yarborough is nipping at their heels, all for that fourth defensive end spot, which is not unlike the sixth wide receiver spot. You got three quality players who are gunning for that fourth defensive end spot, because I don't know if we can assume that they're going to keep five defensive ends. They may keep nine defensive linemen total, in which case I think they keep the extra pass rusher and only go with four DTs, especially knowing that in some of their pass rush packages, they kick Shaq down inside anyway. So it's going to be interesting to see what the numbers decision is that goes on there at defensive end. Are they only keeping four, or are they keeping five? Because you've got those three guys in the mix for that last one, maybe two spots.
Here's my question. Which one of those guys plays better on special teams? Do you know that yet?
Right. Well, I haven't. I have to say Mike Love is on more of them. So, you know, you would say, well, do you give him the edge then? I think that's where, as encouraging as Darryl Johnson's play has been at the defensive end spot, it wouldn't hurt if he showed up in the special teams portion of the game as well. And he's been out there for kick return, a couple other things, you know, as the up man. So we'll have to see where he is utilized this week, knowing the starters are getting the bulk of the work. This is when you see some of those second and third teamers get pushed up to some of those primary special teams units to see what they can handle. Because as much as it is the dress rehearsal for the starters on offense and defense, it's a chance for Coach Farwell to maybe lift some of those younger players up to a primary role on special teams to see what they can handle.
Brownie, I got more questions for you, but are you good to go, or do you got to shut down now out there? What's going on?
I think we're still an individual right now,
good.
So you're okay.
Okay. Question for you about the back end of the defense. We did not see much of Captain Munnerlin last Friday night. I anticipate we'll see more of him this week after he gets a week and a half worth of practice in here, huh?
Yeah, and I think that was the main reason. Because I talked to Coach Frazier last week about what we should expect from Munnerlyn going into that Carolina preseason game. And he said, we're going to get him in there and get him a handful of reps, and that's exactly what he saw. And I think they didn't want to push him too far, because there is a difference between working with your personal trainer all off season and being in good cardiovascular shape, and then there's being in good football shape. They are two very different things, and I think the coaching staff and the athletic training staff recognized that and said, oh, you know, as much as you want to see this guy and see what he can offer you, you're going to have to take this in a methodical type of approach to see what you can and cannot do with him in the nickel. And really, he's the insurance plan at nickel, quite frankly. So Rand Neal has made some nice strides in adapting to that position. I don't know if they're ready to trust him yet, should God forbid Taron Johnson go down for 2 or 3 weeks with an injury. I think Munnerlyn is the insurance plan there. Now they just have to be convinced that he can still get the job done in there, and I would anticipate we're going to see more of him this week, certainly, than we did last week.
Are they going to keep – what do you think? They keep 8 defensive backs, 7, 8, 9?
I think there's a chance you see 10. You're going to have at least 5 corners, and then the question becomes, what do you need at nickel in terms of insurance? And Saran Neal's kind of a wild card. He's a guy that plays a ton on special teams and does it really well. He's a good blitzer. And there's a big nickel package here that we can't ignore either, where Saran Neal is on the field, much like Raphael Bush was last year. So there are some varying things that I think this coaching staff has to decide upon. Like, okay, we have this big nickel package. Well, how much do we use it every week? You know, is Saran Neal going to be an inactive? Who's our sixth corner or fifth safety? Or is he a guy that we're going to have up every week because of special teams and because of the frequency with which we feel we're going to play a big nickel package? So these are all the decisions that have to be weighed in. And now we're talking week-to-week game plan type stuff that impacts what players we should and should not keep. Who's going to be up? Who's going to be down every week if healthy? So, you know, people think this is an easy, here's the 53. Let's just go with those guys. They go in depth with this stuff with a fine tooth comb. And those are some of the decisions that are going to have to be made. But I think 9 or 10 are probably what you're looking at, you know, at defensive back.
Veteran Kurt Coleman did not play last Friday night in Carolina, but I would think he factors into the equation. I can see him out there now. He factors into big nickel or even in regular.
Oh, he's on the roster. Yeah, he's on the roster. Yeah, I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked if he's not on the roster. Absolutely stunned. I think he's a better third safety for this team than even Raphael Bush was, just because of his playmaking ability and his in-depth knowledge of this defense. He is a lock. I mean, you can put him down in pen, as far as I'm concerned, with the 53-man roster. I think when you get down to Munnerlyn, Saran Neal, there are different kinds of conversations that need to be had about those guys as it pertains to game plan, as it pertains to special teams. So those conversations are a little more tricky than the one you have with Kurt Coleman. Micah Hyde or Jordan Poyer get hurt, Kurt Coleman's on the field.
Yeah.
And just by that alone, I think he's on this roster 100%.
Yeah, does that mean they keep 5 safeties? Or does Dean Marlowe, Jaquan Johnson?
I don't think Dean Marlowe is on this roster. I think Jaquan Johnson could be on this roster. They really like him and his instincts. But, again, we get into the sub-package issues. We get into the special teams utilization issues and who is more valuable. And this is where, guys, and we say it all the time, the more you can do makes you more valuable if you're on that back end of the roster.
You guys want to keep everybody. There's 11 days left until the cutdown on August 31st, and there are going to be some good players released here. We know that. That's indicative of where this roster is and how far ahead they are from where they were a year ago, Chris, I believe.
They're going to have players that play on other rosters in this league this year. I mean, you're going to get to week 4 or 5, and you're going to be like, holy cow, they got so-and-so. He was with us in training camp. Wow, he's the nickel corner or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I think you're going to have some of that this year. You're going to have some of that.
Yeah. Hey, before we let you go, we talked about this at the end of our show yesterday, and I believe we're on the right track here. Christian Wade, they do not have to expose him to waivers to make him the 11th practice squad player, right? Is that correct?
I don't know about that. I think you do. You have to expose everyone to waivers when you release them. So I think he would go through the 24-hour waiver window, yes.
That's not what we were talking about. That's not what we read and heard yesterday. But can you do me a favor and ask? I haven't had a chance to ask anybody. I'll
double check on it because real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
The way I see it is if he's a protected allocation for your practice squad, if he's not making your roster, I think you have to still go through the formality of releasing him. And if he's protected and it automatically transfers to your practice squad, I think you're denying him an opportunity to have a regular season roster spot somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I think that would go against NFLPA rules. NFLPA accepting that.
That's a good point.
I don't know what's true now.
Double check.
Yeah, because it was written a couple places yesterday, and we thought we ended yesterday's show with an answer on this. My initial thought on it yesterday was, well, he's got a clear waiver. He's got to go through the waiver process. And then I kind of read a few things that made me think differently. I don't know. I admit it. I don't know what the process is. Yeah. I've heard it.
Well, we'll get
ways to
the bottom of it.
Get to the bottom of that, Chris. Please.
Yeah, it's a sorted web that we've woven with this player pathway program.
Chris, how much better? Last question. It's like 82 degrees. How much better does it feel from last week in Carolina? Like 100% better, right?
Oh, my God. Come on. Like that? Are you kidding me?
No.
This is the best place to be from May to September. What I mean?
I can't beat it
up here.
I got
so, it. So what's the humidity right now? 20%? I mean, yesterday was sticky. They're like, oh, dew point's around 50. After last week, I'll take it. That was ridiculous. How many showers did we all take per day last week? Two,
at least three.
It was ridiculous.
At least three. Minimum three.
I took one Saturday, and that was it, once a week, whether I needed it or not.
Oh, boy.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, we'll see you guys.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, on the practice field in beautiful Orchard Park, New York. Now we have to get an answer to that Wade question, right? Because we ended the show and I was reading stuff that had been written about he's got like a free pass to the 11th spot on the practice squad.
He's different than everybody, but he's not different than everybody.
Just like Chris said, my initial thought was, well, he'll have to clear waivers to get to the 11th spot on the practice squad. I don't know. Now I don't know. Maybe Chris will get an answer for us. Hopefully he'll let us know.
Well, we keep bumping into things that may be different about his situation because they're allocated differently and that he is this 11th guy. He can be this 11th guy on the practice squad. But if he goes to the 11th spot, now then hear this, if he does go to the 11th spot, he's protected for the year and he's not exposed to waivers.
Right.
He's there. But if he takes one of the 10 spots, any other team in the league can sign him, and so can the Bills at any point during the season.
I will not sleep until I have the definitive answer on this.
It's going to be a long day then.
We're taking a break. We got a brand new offensive lineman we'll tell you about. We'll talk about that when we come back. And want to introduce you to our Twitter poll today. It was a source of some contention in the meeting room today, but I think we're all set on this. You?
Yes.
Okay, we'll get to that after I hear the music. I got to get to break. We're coming back with more, including the Twitter poll. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. We'll talk about anything regarding the Bills when we return. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here in our One Buffalo studio where practice is going on and just keeping an eye on practice through our television setup out there, Steve. Best thing I've seen since training camp began today. Seen a lot of good things. Mitch Morse, the non-contact jersey, no longer in effect, and he's out there practicing. It's pretty cool. It's a good sign. What did I say to you this week? You said, I'm beginning to think you're – I was told you, I'm worried about Mitch Morse.
Listen, I have had my eye on you to make sure that you don't leap off the ledge that you've been on for like 3 weeks with Mitch Morse being hurt.
I was worried.
A lot of people were. But he's, he's back at it. And, now we can take a little sigh of relief, you know. And we still don't know anything more about the offensive line now than we did then. We know him.
And Secchi's back today?
Deion Dawkins. We don't know what they're how they're going to line
I'll
up.
I'll tell you right now what's going on. You ready? Here's my offensive line. You're writing it down. He's going to write it down. Mitch Morse at center. Deion Dawkins at left tackle. Quentin Spain at left guard. This is my offensive line. It might not work out this way. Cody Ford at right guard. Ty Nsekhe at right tackle. Let's go. Bring on the Jets. I'm ready to go with that group right there. Okay. Well, what do you think of that? You got anything different on your O-line?
No, I'm not even going to try. I don't even know what these guys are thinking. Because Nsekhe, somebody's going to,
Don't say it.
Yeah.
Get hurt? Don't say it. Right. We've already gone through that. We are past that. We're over that hurdle, and we're
into
going
to twing their ankle.
What did he say? Splotch? What did Brown say?
Sploitch? Stoink.
Stoink?
Yeah. Stoink. I wrote it down, actually.
Never
I don't
heard of that
phonetically.
Before. But Chris Brown, that's good. And Nsekhe back is good as well. And Dawson Knox, a second day back, that's good as well. Hey, brings us right to our Twitter poll question. Which position group on the Bills offense is the most wide open, is most intriguing right now? Right now, not when the regular season begins, but right now.
I can't believe you just said that.
Well, no, I get it. We had a long discussion today about the wording of this Twitter poll. We all kind of knew what we wanted to do, and there's a lot to think about on the Buffalo offense. But, I mean, if you're looking at a season-wide picture, you would say, well, quarterback is the most intriguing. But now, we know who the quarterback is.
Today.
Today. Which position group today on the Bills' offense is the most wide open? Give us a call to discuss, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Vote in our Twitter poll. We got 640 votes in already. And on the Twitter poll, 48% say tight end? Really? 29% say wide receiver. 15% say offensive line. 9% say running back. Okay. I mean, I guess people get bored by the offensive line. That's where my vote would go.
I think most people are like you. They kind of have them penciled in. They got a ballpark figure of those top five or six guys.
Tight end is the most wide open. Huh.
I think he's right. I think they're right. Knox is back on for the second day full go. Sweeney has been playing lights out. And don't forget, Sweeney was number four on the depth chart. Four. Behind Tyler Croft, Jason Kroom, Dawson Knox, and then Sweeney, and maybe fifth behind Lee Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, there's...
He's behind Lee Smith.
Who's going to line up? If they go one tight end... Now, if all those guys are healthy, not knowing what we don't know anything about Tyler Croft. We have no idea. Who lines up with one tight end formation?
Friday or... Jets game.
Well, today. I mean, not today. Is it going to be Knox or Sweeney? We don't even know that. And those guys are fresh out of the box.
Yeah.
That's wide open to me.
Aaron in Charlotte has an idea on tight ends. Aaron, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hi, guys. Hi. I was at the Bills game this last week, and I was super excited and I liked what I saw. It was hot as crap, too. So it's good to be inside. But love listening to your show. The thing I was just thinking about was Duke Williams. I don't know like his size or his measurables or not, but is he somebody that you can kind of pack on the bottom side of a tight end roster just because of his size and physicality, just to keep him on the roster?
They won't do that. I don't think they'll do that. I mean, Aaron. I mean, it's a good thought. We've heard people say, "Hey, he could switch to tight end." He's not that big.
6'3", 225.
He's not that big, and you're talking about setting him back in his career where he's a 4-year pro out of the Canadian Football League. He's got a skill set that he can play at this level in the NFL and make a name for himself. He doesn't need to switch positions now. And who's he going to? He's going to outplay Knox, Sweeney, Tyler Croft. Is he going to outplay Kroom? He's not going to outplay any of those guys, particularly this year. And if he can play that good on special teams, why switch positions anyway? They need wide receivers who can do that. So they don't need him to switch positions. I think that's a pipe dream. I get it. If he brings you something. But, no, he's a wide receiver, and he's a pretty good one. You don't need him to switch positions. And I get it. I think as Bills fans, we're kind of in the position where we don't want to cut any good players because it's been so long since we've had to do that. some teams do this every year.
Yeah.
Some teams do, they're getting rid of guys that go off and play over here and they go over play over there. Bills haven't really done that too much. I think they might do that this year.
Yeah. We got a break here. We're coming back with more. Come on, give us a call and vote in the Twitter poll. We will read some of your tweets from the tweet sheet when we return. The Bills position group that is the most wide open. We're coming back with that. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Talking about the Bills, that's what we do every day. They actually, they pay us to do this 3 hours a day. We're here until 3 today. We got Dan Orlovsky coming up at 1 o'clock in post-practice. We'll hear from Tremaine Edmonds on the side as he takes to the podium. And Patrick DeMarco, fullback, will join us after practice today as well. The Bills did make a roster move. We didn't talk about it much, but Eric Magnuson signed to the roster today, just relieved by the San Francisco 49ers August 2nd. He was waived injured right at the start of camp. 25 years of age, went to the Niners as an undrafted rookie in 2017 out of Michigan. He played in 8 games over his first 2 NFL seasons for the Niners, started at both tackle spots in his rookie year, has also played guard and center. Where he lines up with the Bills remains to be seen. Bills had a room on the roster because they put the offensive lineman Garrett McGinn on injured reserve. I believe he injured his ankle in Friday night's game. So Eric Magnuson out there wearing number 62 for the Buffalo Bills, the newest Buffalo Bill.
6'6", 305. Got some experience. I mean, yep. It's interesting. We were talking about this, and I didn't realize until I got in this morning that they had made this move, and I was talking to you about it. They are not stopping with this offensive line. I mean, they're running. Remember, Nico Siragusa was in here for a minute. You know, they got guys that are rolling through this roster. They're checking everybody out, and, you know, and he played center and tackle and guard. I mean, this is another one of those guys that checks a lot of boxes, you know? I don't know, 8 games total. He's got some experience, knows how to be a pro at least, you know, you'd think. I don't know what his injury was or why they waived him, whether it was a knee or a pulled muscle or whatever, but never went to camp with him. I mean, didn't get into camp very long, and that the injury settled with him. So, I just got to know. It reminds me that they never sleep on – over here, you know, I mean,
roster churn.
They churn it over.
Yes, they do.
The bottom of this roster, they're always looking to get better. I think there's in a couple of ways. One, with character guys. Two, with athletics. If they can get better athletically, and they come in, they just feel like they're going to be that much better. And this is Eric Magnuson from, you know, originally out of Michigan University. They brought here. He is 25-year-old guy bringing him in. See if he can make it. It's. Man, this just keeps rolling. I mean, think of it. They had 15 guys when they started training camp. And a couple of them weren't even playing, right?
Yep.
They had like 17 guys. And they've been rolling over. They've rolled over like 3 or 4 or 5 guys.
Yeah.
Man, oh man.
Which position group on the Bills is the most wide open right now? Give us a call or let's discuss. We can discuss it on Twitter. You can vote in the Twitter poll or send in a tweet. We can read it on the tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. The Bills position group that right now is the most wide open where you really don't know how it's going to play out. Max sends in this tweet. Tight end, in my opinion. I went from thinking Tommy Sweeney was a sure shot practice squad guy earlier this year to thinking he's got a chance at seeing his fair shot of playing time this year. He has acquitted himself well during camp and preseason. And now you got Dawson Knox apparently full go in practice today. We don't know about Kroom. We know Croft is still a week or two away. We know Lee Smith's role as a blocker. That's a good one. Tight end is wide open. I can see that. I can see that answer.
Yeah, I do too. It's impossible to even get a handle on what they're thinking because some of these guys, they haven't seen either. They don't have enough information on Dawson Knox to know what he's going to be. I don't know. I'm with them. I'm totally with them on the tight end group. I think that's the injuries. Yeah, as much as we've talked about the offensive line, Mitch Morse, who's now back in the lineup, that's thrown a wrench into their offensive line tests and evaluation.
Throwing a wrench into it or made it easier?
I think it's made it clouded it up.
He's the center. I don't know. I think it's made it. I think things will begin to fall in place now with Mitch Morse back there. I think it's exactly what they wanted.
Yeah.
Throw a wrench into it?
I don't know. I don't know. I just don't think they know who their 5 are going to be. Maybe they do
I
now.
Already,
they
you
probably
wrote it
do.
Down. I just gave you.
You gave me yours. We don't count. But I don't know. Compared to that, to the tight ends, they got the top three guys off the table. That's a big difference. That's a big difference. And I think that's why I agree. I think tight end is the one that's most wide open.
All right, we got a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk with Dan Orlovsky, who covers college football and the NFL for ESPN, has a lot to say about Josh Allen and Josh's performance against Carolina last Friday night. Come on back for that an hour or 2 hours ago. One Bills Live, presented by Collada Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.